You're listening to The Takeaway.
Had the TV on lately? You might have heard a car ad that sounded a little something like this.
So bring in that old jalopy and get up to $4,500 towards the purchase of a new or select used vehicle. That's right, get up to $4,500 for that old piece of junk. Plus, you keep the rebates. You have to hurry. Since funds are limited for this program, it's first come, first served. They have over 20 different models that qualify, and your credit approval is guaranteed. Visit Phil Fitz Ford on Wilmington Road in Newcastle, or get all the details online at philfitzford.com.
Okay, I kind of want to talk like that, but I'll stop. That's because the $1 billion federal Cash for Clunkers program officially kicks off today. That's why you're hearing those ads. It allows Americans to trade in their clunkers, you know, cars with bad gas mileage, for up to $4,500 toward more fuel-efficient vehicles. Now, some dealerships have already begun offering those trade-ins, and we're going to talk now to Mary Dubois of Oklahoma City. She's already taken advantage of one of those deals. All right, Mary. Describe what your clunker was like.
It was a 94 Dodge Shadow. The air conditioning didn't work. The driver's side window didn't go down. The paint was peeling. It was definitely a clunker.
Hey, what was not to love about this car, huh?
Well, in Oklahoma City, air conditioning's pretty important. My husband was just dying of the heat driving it.
Now, what was the speedometer on?
It was about 110,000 miles.
This sounds like the perfect car, like if you had a teenager learning how to drive or something.
We had originally bought it for our teenagers. It went through three boys learning to drive who are all grown now and long gone out of the house, so it had served its purpose.
Oh, my goodness. Clunker, we hardly knew you.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you feel sad at all about letting it go?
Not for a moment. We were happy the program came along because we probably otherwise wouldn't have gotten, you know, $100 for it.
Wow. And instead, what did you get?
We got $3,500.
All right. We're going to move now to Dan Neal. He's an auto critic for the LA Times. Dan, could you give us some of the specifics of how Cash for Clunkers works?
Sure. Well, you'll be able to go to the dealership and say, okay, with your 1996 Jeep Cherokee, for example, and a vehicle that doesn't get 18 miles a gallon. One of the thresholds is that your trade-in has to get less than 18 miles per gallon combined, and you can find that out on the government website for this. And the dealer will do the calculation and decide whether you can qualify for either a $3,500 credit or a $4,500 credit. And it's really just that easy. You don't have to have any vouchers or any kind of intermediaries. The dealer will take the credit off the price of the vehicle, and in a lot of cases, dealers are adding more incentive money so that you can really come out way ahead in this program if you're one of the lucky 250,000 or so who can take advantage of it.
Hey, what happens to the clunkers after the dealer has them? Do they go to, you know, that big clunker farm in the sky?
Sure, if you're telling your kid that, they're going to the farm in the country to play with other Jeep Cherokees.
Exactly.
They get recycled. They get smashed up. And it's interesting because one of the big beefs with the program is that they're going to take working vehicles and crush them and recycle them. So they can't take, you know, engines and other kinds of parts out to sell on the secondary parts market. And that has created some agita among people.
Well, I know some critics who say that actually this isn't as environmentally correct as we might like to think. I mean, there's energy that you expend to build new cars. Maybe it's better to keep old clunkers on the road. So how do you break that one down?
It's a couple of things. You know, the car manufacturers are not going to make significantly more cars. Their production isn't going to ramp up dramatically because of this. They're just going to move them off the lots a little quicker. So it will be a very subtle effect. Second, the sunk energy costs in terms of sort of dust-to-dust in energy investment in these cars is mostly electricity. And electricity we seem to have a lot of, and these cars are built, around the world, and so that isn't so much of an issue. In terms of gasoline, that's really the critical energy source that we're trying to cut down on. And this program will do it because there are a lot of really, really inefficient cars on the road. One of the problems of making cars that last 20 years is that cars last 20 years, and the rollover rate is so slow. So those 2002 Cadillac Escalades that people were driving around, they're still driving around. They'll still be driving around a decade from now. But for programs like this.
Now, can you trade in your clunker for a foreign car as well as a domestic car?
Yep, you can. Any car qualifies as long as it gets a combined 22 miles per gallon or better. Also, category one trucks have to have, that's SUVs and trucks and vans have to have a combined MPG of 18. That's the ones you purchase.
Now, some foreign car makers are doing really well with this program. I'm thinking of Hyundai, of course. They're marketing on the fact that their name is going to get more prominent. And here's a clip from an ad featuring auto executives from around the world yelling about Hyundai.
Win one little award, and suddenly everyone gets your name right. It's Hyundai, like Sunday.
Okay, that award was the 2009 North American Car of the Year. Yesterday, Hyundai posted a record quarterly profit. So, all right, Dan, what are they doing that other car makers aren't?
Well, first of all, it would be great if the car business was that exciting.
like pitching a no-hitter?
That would be awesome. I mean, that's just what a great business it would be. No, well, what they're doing right is what everybody knows to do right. That is slow, steady progress, deep investment, strategic thinking, and from the consumer's point of view, just year after year of really, really excellent cars that overachieve for the price you pay.
You know, there is one American factory that is manufacturing only Hyundais, and it's in Montgomery, Alabama. And I'd like to go now to Rick Halstead. He is a factory worker at Hyundai there. Now, Rick, what is it exactly that you do at Hyundai?
I work in the engine shop, which produces the four cylinders for the Sonatas.
All right. And when you say you work there, what exactly do you do? Pretend that you're explaining this to your relative at the family reunion.
I work in the machining side of the engine shop where we drill holes and cut the engine block, the head unit, and the crank that go inside to make up the engine.
Now, you are a car worker working in America, and I think for most of us, we hear that and we think, oh, no, not a good year. But tell me, what kind of year are you having?
I'm having a great year. I mean, being a part of Hyundai is very exciting and stuff, and especially since we're doing so well in these rough times.
How secure do you feel?
I feel very secure. I don't feel threatened by any means. Hyundai takes care of their employees very much. And just, I mean, the sales numbers themselves speak for themselves.
Now, what do you think Hyundai has to teach, say, the GMs of the world?
I would say flexibility would probably be the biggest thing.
All right. Now, Rick, I know you're about to start your shift soon, so I'm going to thank you for joining us. Dan, I want to get back to you. It's sort of a relief to hear good news from the auto industry. What do you think American automakers can learn from what Hyundai's doing?
Oh, you know, here's the answer. Nothing, really. You know, Hyundai is prospering because Hyundai is a young company. It started without a lot of historical liabilities that GM, Ford, Chrysler, and indeed some Japanese car makers like Toyota is beginning to feel, you know, the first signs of decrepitude. You know, car companies are very dynamic, and they get old fast, and they build up, and they get arthritis quickly. You know, Hyundai is a younger company. They've had good management. They've had taken advantage of a time when computer-assisted design and a global supply chain have both combined to make those cars really good and really cheap. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, it is what it is to be an incumbent. You know, General Motors was the biggest car company in the world, and it's all downhill from there. With Hyundai, they were a brash upstart, and they're going uphill.
All right, Dan, we've been talking about clunkers. I just have to ask, you as a living, you get to drive all these wonderful cars, but surely there was a clunker in your past you're sort of fond of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. But, you know, these cars have to be 25 years old or less. I mean, you know, I would never – my wife has a Jeep Cherokee Sport. You know, I just can't turn it in. I mean, it's worth postage, but, I mean, I can't turn it in.
Well, they did raise the rate of stamps. All right, Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Dan Neal. He is the Pulitzer Prize-winning automotive critic for the L.A. Times. We also talked to Mary Dubois in Oklahoma City.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.